Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. This segment is titled Create Your Perfect Work Environment. Some things that you may want to consider about creating your perfect work environment is to write down a description of the type of job that you want. The job title of the perfect job you want, and places or social networks that you can use to go out and market yourself, because the best way to create your perfect work environment is to visualize yourself in this position. And when you visualize yourself in the position and put yourself there, then in the long run, eventually it will be a reality. Another way to do this is to journal your life. You could start as a child and write a journal of different things that are important to you and talk about a plan where you want to be in the next few years. Many things that we can do in that way to help ourselves is to begin to see ourselves as that in that perfect job, in that perfect position. And many a times, if you're around people who are negative, you need to get rid of that negativity. Simple reason. If you believe in yourself, but the people around you don't believe in yourself, then what happens is you have to turn your life around because you tend to buy into those negatives. And the only way to get rid of those negatives is to get rid of the people who are negative. Now, I'm going to start out by talking about an article that I read in Human Resources magazine, and it was talking about the generation that we now call Gen X or Gen Next, or also known as the Gen Net generation. And the reason for that is that they are the first generation that was brought up using technology like the internet and computers and cell phones and different things like the iPod. And one of the things that we need to think of when we're talking about that environment and the workplace is to consider the fact that these are children that are coming up in a generation where they think nothing of being on the cell phone or text messaging almost constantly. And if we want to look back on some other aspects of it, earlier generations, because they didn't have the internet and they didn't have text messaging, and where they kept in touch with their parents almost constantly on a daily basis, then they had more independence about them. They began to think more abstractly. They tended to make more decisions for themselves. And those skills that they took into the workplace meant that they were more prepared for the workplace. The Gen Net generation, they almost constantly in touch with their parents, because you see today children at 6, 7 years old have cell phones, and there's certain ways that parents can monitor the amount of time the kids get. Even if you look at some of the advertisements today in Disney and how they talk about how you can allot so many minutes to a cell phone so that children learn responsibility in that they are not on the phone, misusing the phone all the time. Also, the cell phone was a way for parents to monitor where their children were at all times. Because prior to the cell phones, when teenagers went out, they usually had to get to a pay phone to get a hold of their parents if they needed them. There was no way for the parents to monitor them as there is today. And even the internet has to be monitored, because you have some unscrupulous people that are out there looking for things like child porn, where they can take advantage of young kids. So therefore, parents do have to monitor it. And you have the service providers today that have protections put into their software that parents can use so that children can end up not getting on the wrong sites. And one of the things that this new generation has had to deal with is that today, when they have issues, their parents are more involved in it because they've kept in touch with them. Many a times before the cell phone, if a parent didn't know where the child was, they couldn't find them until the child came home later. And what happened in situations like that was you just didn't know where your children were. You didn't know if they got in trouble, whether they had flats in their tires or whatever. Today, a child almost constantly calls their parents, whether to tell them they're on their way home, to tell them they're, you know, when their car is broken down, to tell them when they're stopping off to pick up a snack. It's easier to monitor the children today. But the downfall with that is that these are children who have not had to make decisions for themselves because the parents is constantly making those decisions for them and helping them out. One of the things that was pointed out in this article was that because of the parents' involvement with their children, that even when they hit their 20s and they go into the job market, the parents will contact the human resource professional to tell them how good their child is for that company or how great they would be for that position, instead of the child getting it for themselves on their own merit. Also, because the parents are so involved with the child, if something happens with that position and they lose the position, then the parent is more likely to call up the company and have their input into why they feel their child should never have been let go from that position. Now, if you want to create that perfect job and you write down a job description, then what you can do is you can plan out how you're going to get the skills that you need so that you can put yourself in that job that you want that is the perfect job for yourself. And another way to do it is social networking. As children, we often go to Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or Girls Clubs, and what that does is it teaches us socialization skills and how to get along with other people, how to build good teams, and how to communicate with each other without the added burden of having to deal with overcompensating, because people who lack the social skills will often have a much more difficult time of putting themselves into a job where they can integrate with people. So it's very important that we learn how to do that through the activities that we take part in over time growing up. And other ways of social networking is, as a professional, there are organizations like Leeds Club or Power Corps, and how these particular social networks work is if you are a professional, say in a sales position with pharmaceuticals, and you join a Power Core group or a Leads group, then you're usually the only person within that group who holds that position. So, therefore, you can stand up in front of the group and you can say, you introduce yourself by giving your name, giving your company name, giving your position, and then saying a short description about your product and who would benefit from your product. And then you would also, in that short 10-minute presentation, tell who would be a good prospect for you, because the other members in the group can refer prospects to you who could use your services or your product, which can help you build your sales in your particular field. If you are internet savvy, there are a number of social networks on the internet. Companies like AppSense or MySpace. Many people think of MySpace because they've always heard of it, simply because you have a lot of young kids who go on there, and you've had predators who have gone on there to interact with these young kids and find and get to know them so they can develop relationships off of the internet and have inappropriate relationships. But at the same time, you can also find professional networking people on there who are there to do what the networks or the social networks were initially set up to do, which was to bring people together from different parts of the world with similar backgrounds or dissimilar backgrounds, but who have similar goals in life, and a way to interact with each other. Back in the 50s, the big thing was the development of TV, and that helped to bring different areas or different ways of seeing things that we didn't have an opportunity to see, and that made the world smaller. But even the internet today, as we use it to build social networks from people around the world, then what we have been able to do is make it even smaller. And because you're able to meet people through those networks and interact with them, it's also a way to market your business or to join with a different group where you can work with them, but you can work in your own setting at home and still be working for someone and generate an income for yourself. You're not dependent on what is available in your local area anymore. So the internet has really opened the doors, but we also need to develop and create more opportunities for ourselves. Now I'd like to get back to some of the things and the comparisons of the baby boomer generation, because they came in at the end of the corporate environment. They got the buyouts, and technology has opened up, which has created new opportunities for them. But they're the parents of the Gen Now or Gen Net generation, which basically is the group that was born from 1979 to 2002, is what's called the Gen Net generation. And they're a generation which is up and coming. Now, they bring different techniques to the workplace, and because they use cell phones, a text message, they would think nothing of multitasking while they're doing their job. And employers need to understand that for them, doing multitasking is a way of life, whereas the older generation, they didn't always have the technology available to them. First, the beginning of the technology was within the 50s when you began to see the television. That kind of made the world smaller, but today you have the advent of the internet, which has made the world much, much smaller. And we need to consider other things that we can do to help ourselves. Now, journaling is what you would do is keep a record of your daily activity or an idea that you may have, because you never know that if you think about it, the careers that we have as adults are things that we may look forward to as children, and we may have some good ideas of some things that we can implement later in life that we think of at that time. So that's why journaling is a very important part of what you do. And also, if you have an idea of what, if you show a talent in a certain area, it usually shows up as a child. It can be someone who loves animals and they care for animals or they take strays in. Many a times as an adult, you would see that person becoming a veterinarian or be a trainer of animals. That's why if you look back at your childhood, you can often see and determine things that you would do as an adult along the way. So that is why journaling is a very important part of some of the things that you need to consider. And if you are a social activist, then you tend, even as a child, to take part in activities where you're developing some of those social skills. In the Girl Scouts, you would many a times take part in activities where you would go to senior citizens' homes and interact with them once a week. Or you might decide to go with the group out to camping on a weekend trip or something, and you develop the skills that you need to have along the way, where you would be creating or learning how to involve yourself in nature, and you learn to love nature. Today, because of all of the gases and all of the things that have happened, our environment is beginning to feel the effects of those emissions from the cars or the smokestacks from the manufacturing. And people are beginning to look back to the greening effect and how do we get back to nature. So by taking part in activities like Girl Scouts where you're going out and camping, then you're learning to love nature at that time and to become a part of nature. And you learn about the wild animals that you don't get the opportunity to deal with or relate to on an ongoing basis unless you go to a zoo. Here at the Atlanta Zoo, where I live in Georgia, we have the pandas. And they, in the past year, we now have Meilan, which is a baby panda that was born a little over a year ago, and what they have had to do because the animals have not mated naturally on their own to create this baby, they have also had to use artificial insemination. And the idea is for them to be able to study the pandas from the time of birth until they become adulthood to see how they develop the skills that we all come to know when we see them on National Geographic. But at one time, National Geographic was the only way that you learned about exotic animals in the outside world because they're not natural to all aspects of every location. Polar bears is another thing that we have had an opportunity to observe. And their main place of existence is in a cold environment like the North Pole. And because of the greening effect and the emissions from the environment, we see a lot of what's going on now, which is called global warming. And in global warming, then what we are seeing is that those ice caps are beginning to melt away. And as they melt away, then you're getting the animals who need those ice caps and that cold environment, they're going to become extinct because they're not going to have their natural environment anymore. So what we learn as children also extends to how we relate to different things as an adult. So that's another thing that you would need to look at when you want to create your perfect environment. as well as how would you handle your place of work. And visualization is what you would do is you would picture yourself in that position that you want to be in. And you first have to figure out, now, what skills do I need to learn so that I can be the best at what I want to do? And say you're not just the president of a company, but you also have to be aware of how to manage the books or bring someone in that manages the book, and you want to be able to look at their behavior patterns, how they relate to you. What are the things that you enjoy doing that they don't enjoy doing, and the things that they enjoy doing that you don't enjoy doing? And for someone who is an accountant, they are very good at sitting at a desk for hours doing paperwork. And they like working with numbers. You have some people that don't like working with numbers, so therefore it is how they determine what they do and how they manage it is to bring in someone who enjoys those activities. That's what makes a successful company. So if you know that down the road that you plan on doing something like that, then what you can do is think of things that you can do to help yourself. Now, what I'm going to also talk about here in the last few minutes is how do you create the perfect mindset for yourself. Now, many a times, what that incorporates is that if you know you enjoy something and that is your forte, then you need to look at it in the way that is helpful for you. Say you are a good horseman and you want to do something where you're riding or doing shows. Well, then as a child, you first learn how to ride that horse. Then you graduate into maybe riding it around a track. And then you learn how to do jumping over rails. What that is doing is that's a progression of along the way. Say you want to be an equestrian and participate in the Olympics. You have to learn the skills. You have to create your own technique and perfect it so that you can be the best at what you're doing. And that entails you being able to build on your skills. We never have, or we never are able to do something right away. Now, here's some things that I want to talk about and that you may want to think about is, what kind of blueprint do you have for yourself? How do you see yourself? Many a times, if you think back even using transactional analysis, what do your parents always say to you? Things like, we're poor, or we can't do that, we don't have the money, or it's a situation where you want to think of yourself in a way of someone who needs to build your skills. And say you see yourself in a position of being very successful and having a lot of money. But what if your mindset says that you're poor, or you can't succeed, or you it takes money to make money in a way that it's going to hold you back from creating or developing the capabilities to be successful? Think about Donald Trump and some of the things that he has been able to accomplish. Now, he's a multimillionaire, but he has also at times lost a lot of his money because he has had to deal with the downturns, times when people weren't buying. But he had a goal in life, and he has not only even developed apartment complexes or whatever, he's also written books. He's figured out, now I have these skills, how can I use these skills to help someone else? And when I do that, then I have created another stream of income for myself so that I'm not depending on one stream. When that goes down, there's something else out there that can help me. And it usually has to do with the mindset that you have for yourself. If you see yourself as being successful, then you will be successful. But if you let other people make your decisions for you and tell you what success is, then along the way, you're not going to have that success. So therefore, it is up to you to help yourself determine what you plan to do in the future and how you want to get there. And that is one reason why journaling is a very important aspect of things that you need to do to help you get where you want to go in the future. Because it's all about how you succeed with your life. And if you look back or you start back into past generations, history usually repeats itself. When the Europeans first came to this country back at the early part of the 20th century in the 1920s, what they were able to do was they started small businesses. Many of them had push carts or the little mom and pop shops. Now, some of the mom and pop shops in today's economy don't always work because you have the big, what they call the Walmarts or the Targets, the companies or the stores where you can go and you can get your groceries, or you can get your clothes, or you can get your books, that you can get them all in one location, and they can sell them much cheaper than a mom and pop store. But something that today is very similar to what happened in the early 20th century is if you go to the malls, you will see things like the carts out there, where someone can open a small business and just sell one product, and being in a strategic place where walking traffic will pass them along and stop and look at it. And you also have people where they demo products. They have the demos with the irons or the curling irons, the steam irons, different products that if you get it in someone's hands and you get them to try it, then you're more likely to be put in a position of making a sale. You even have the people who stand on the street corners selling their wares today. That also goes back to the early part of the 20th century, because you saw that. So as you see, if you want to be successful, you have to make that determination for yourself, and you have to do it in such a way that as you develop the skills and as you try it out, or as you start with a small company and work with them even a short time, then what you're doing is you're building your skills so that if as you choose to go out and work for yourself, you can do that as well. It's all a matter of your timing, your planning. How do you want to be and decide how you're going to get there along the way? Now, as you develop your skills and as you learn about how to use the internet so that it can benefit you and develop your relationships, and another aspect of that is writing blogs. There are a number of sites that you can go on and put out their blogs, and then what you can do is RSS, which is the really simple way of putting it, hooking it into the internet so that it goes out on a wider spectrum other than just the site you're on. So that if someone will key in a certain word that is in your title or in your story, then they will come upon your article, and that can also help to lead back to your website. So as you can see, there are a number of things that you can do that can help you to build your business, but it's also a way to build your skills so that you too can become very successful. And I would like to invite you to return next week to our show on Live Without Limits. Thank you.